Deputy Coroner of the County of Arlington, State of Massachusetts, I hereby find, upon evidence of an autopsy conducted by the medical examiner of this county, that the deceased, Wilford Butler, died as a result of burns inflicted accidentally upon himself on his own premises during the afternoon of December 24th, 1950.
This.
You know me, Tess. It's Marianne. Tell the mayor. Tell them all. I'm waiting in my father's house.
Who are you?
You know. Christmas Eve, 1935.
Well, you are listening to Hysteria Continues, and this is Armand Mastriani, the director of He Knows You're Alone.
And indeed you are. Welcome back to the Hysteria Continues, episode 113, and this is our special Christmas episode. Is this the fourth year we've done one?
Fifth.
Blimey. Wow. Gosh. Okay. Well,
yeah, something like that. I don't know.
And Eric will be unwrapping or unraveling today with a fiendish quiz.
You say that as if I'm destined to lose.
No, well, I don't. I have no hand in this, Eric.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure there's been no, like, behind-the-scenes shenanigans going on.
Hand on my heart, I don't know what's coming up. But we kind of know, Joseph had told us a little bit, that it's going to be fiendish. But apart from that, unless Joseph and Nathan have had some behind-the-scenes thing, or in some kind of strange Machiavellian way, you and Joseph are planning against me and Nathan. So who knows? Anyway, we've got that coming up. But before we start, are we feeling Christmassy, Nathan?
Somewhat. I usually don't think about Christmas till right after Thanksgiving, and that did just happen. So I guess I'm starting to get into the Christmas spirit, because as people know, we're recording this early.
Yes, so it's not even December while we're recording this. So it's like, you know, when people do those adverts for Christmas on the TV and they're recording them in July, or they're doing the Christmas, you know, Toy's doing her latest Christmas song for charity. She's probably recorded that in August in a pound shop somewhere.
Shut up.
That'd be nice of her to record for charity,
would.
Though.
Yeah, Susie would never think about others.
But she doesn't need to, does she?
She doesn't, because she's a goth. Goths are horrible people. That's
right. Eric, come on, stop the bullying. It's Christmas.
You stopped the bullying. You started the bullying.
I did not. I just made an observation.
Insinuation Toys recording studios in a pound shop. That's such a stupid statement.
Is it? Anyway, how are you, Eric? Are you full of Christmas cheer?
Well, I am, because I'm thinking about the time that Mary and Joseph gave birth to the baby Santa, and he bought gold, frankincense, and myrrh to the Israelites who were in the Garden of Eden waiting to go on Noah's Ark. And that's why we celebrate Christmas.
We do, Eric. Thank you for that. It's a timely and, it's a sobering reminder of what Christmas is all about.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, we're going to ruin it all with this podcast about death and dismemberment at Christmas time. But
When I think about the three wise men in that story, it reminds me of the little scene in Family Guy where two of them are really upset that one of them decided to give gold. They're like, "Are you serious? You brought gold? All I have is frankincense." The other one's like, "Yeah, and I just brought myrrh."
And what is myrrh even?
I don't know.
Isn't it a kind of incense?
Well, that's what frankincense is it not?
Can you imagine, Justin, if somebody showed up, though, to you and someone brought you, like, incense and the other one brought you gold?
I know.
I'd be like, oh, I like you better.
Yeah. But back in the olden days, sometimes some of those things could be worth as much as gold.
Oh, nice history lesson from Justin.
Yes, thank you. Just playing devil's
advocate. You learn something new every day.
Exactly. So, Joseph, how are you doing?
I have no history for you.
Well, I know we nearly lost you, didn't we? Well, not you, but your voice. You lost your voice earlier this week.
Yeah, when we recorded our last episode, I was on the verge of losing it, and then, like, the next day I couldn't talk whatsoever. So, you know, a few people got lucky that they didn't have to hear me, but it's pretty much gone, the cold, so I'm quite thrilled about that. It's what happens when you get old. You know, when you're in your 20s, you never get sick. When you're pushing 40, you get sick all the time. What a Christmas miracle.
Well, let's just hope Eric doesn't catch that and lose his voice. That would be a tragedy, wouldn't it, Eric?
It would be an awful, awful, awful tragedy.
Well,
especially as I'll probably end up singing for you all later.
Oh, Christ.
That's if you're being nice to me.
Well, let's not be nice to him.
Hey.
But also, in a first, it's going to be my joke of the week a little bit later. So I bet you're looking forward to that, aren't you?
No.
What do you mean? It's a cracker.
A Christmas cracker. Is that your joke of the week? Because no, that was quite pathetic.
No, it's not. No, it's a film-related one, but we'll come on to that a little bit later.
Is it related to Silent Night, Bloody Night?
It is, yes.
Okay.
Of course it is, Eric.
Well, that's a start.
What do you take me for? I'm a professional.
A buffoon, usually.
Oh, Eric. Okay, well, let's start with some recently seen. So who would like to go first? Joseph, do you want to talk a little bit about what you've been watching?
Yeah, I mean, aside from the riff tracks that I've been watching, the only thing I've really been watching, you know, horror-related is catching up on Ash vs. Evil Dead, of course. I still think it's a fantastic show, and I really like that halfway through they're actually starting to kind of give the Ash character a little humanity, aside from just being a joke machine every now and then. He's starting to show, you know, shades of being a human being, and I like that. I think the latest episode, you know, it certainly did have a lot of funny moments, but I actually kind of liked some of the quieter moments toward the end of the episode. Of course, it's still, you know, nice and bloody, and there's one good particular moment where, you know, Ash and his merry band of Deadite Slayers try to kill one of the demons, and you know, lots of green goo, just as you'd expect from an Evil Dead film. So, Eric, are you still watching that?
I am. I haven't seen yesterday's episode though yet. So.
Okay, it's probably not my favorite of the season so far, but it's still pretty good.
Cool. Okay, I've still not seen any of them because I'm watching other things at the moment, but I will get around to it eventually, I would think. What about you, Sweet. Nathan? You've not started watching it yet, either of you?
No, I haven't. I don't have it. I mean, I don't have, like, cable, so...
Right. Okay. Okay, right. Well, thank you, Joseph. Anything else?
No, that's it for this week.
Okay, because we recorded last weekend, so we may be a little bit thin on the ground I recently watched. But what about you, Eric?
Okay, well, yeah, I haven't really watched anything since it's only been a week. I did watch the concluding two episodes of season one of American Horror Story, which I was talking about in the last episode. And as I predicted, it ended in kind of ho-hum fashion and made me think I've wasted, I think it was 12 episodes times 40 minutes, whatever that is. Just my problem with TV series in general is that it's two episodes of setup, then 10 episodes of treading water and one episode of wrap up, which always tends to be quite anticlimactic. And that is exactly what American Horror Story was for me. And it's the same issue I had with The Walking Dead. And this is exactly why I don't invest any time in TV shows anymore. So I won't be going back into the American Horror Story pantheon to explore the further seasons, I'm afraid. I think I will be sticking to movies. I'm having the same issues with Scream Queens, which is, again, treading water. I don't think it's as awful as a lot of people do, but I do think it's sort of going nowhere. As we've said a million times, the horror elements don't work. It's sort of the comedy, which can be hit and miss, but when it's hit, it's very funny, I think. But yeah, Ash vs. Evil Dead, I think, is getting the TV serial thing spot on.
Yeah, I mean, it's 10 episodes, and they're like 20 to 25 minutes a piece, yeah. So you're not you know, wasting
exactly,
any time.
Exactly, yeah. So, yeah, that's all I've been watching horror-wise this week.
Yeah. Okay, right. Well, thank you, Eric. Nathan, what about you?
Well, I have to say I agree with Eric about you know, even though I still really like American Horror Story, I know exactly where you're coming from, because my problem, and I've seen every season, is that the first season I thought was all right. But, I mean, I really like the other seasons because they're just crazy and outlandish and very campy. But my problem is I love the buildup, but the final episode of almost every season so far is so rushed. And it's almost like it feels like it's just slapped together to give it an ending.
Mm, exactly.
And I don't like that. I think that he needs to, I don't know, maybe learn how to end, do a proper ending. Because he doesn't know how to end the seasons, it doesn't seem like to me. Mm. And with Scream Queens, I still really love the show. But this last episode, the Thanksgiving one, I don't know if you guys have seen it yet.
Yeah.
It felt very much filler.
Mm, yeah.
Like, it didn't, nothing happened that advanced the plot, in my opinion, except for the last, like, minute of the Thanksgiving episode. But everything else was just filler to me.
That's my problem. I don't have Chiller, which is apparently a channel. I've never had Chiller. I've never seen it on any of my cable hookups. But apparently they're doing their own original series now. And it's called Slasher. It's a slasher series. Apparently it's it follows the plight of a young woman who, and I'm reading a quote here, who returns to the small town where she was born only to find herself the centerpiece in a series of horrifying copycat murders based on the widely known grisly killings of her parents. The 8-part season, which I guess it means eight episodes, serves as the first installment of an anthology series where each season exists as a self-contained hybrid of the slasher subgenre of horror films and the traditional murder mystery. Over the course of this slasher series, a variety of mysteries will unfold, building towards a climactic finale. So I'm kind of interested in that. I mean, I'm always willing to give some kind of slasher series a chance. Maybe someone likes to get it right.
Mm. Well, I thought you liked the Harper's Island one.
Yeah, that was actually pretty good. I liked that one a lot.
Yeah, I saw stuff about that, and that looks quite interesting. So it'd be nice to. I mean, I quite enjoyed the Scream sort of series, but it'd be nice for somebody to do something a little bit more straight, you know, straight without too much comedy in it, a bit like Harper's Island. So it's worth somebody trying that. So give that a go.
Yeah.
I guess other than that, the only thing I watched this week is I rewatched the very, very intelligent and smartly written Thanksgiving.
What a great title.
Gobble, gobble, motherfucker.
Is that an actual line from the movie?
That's a tagline. Yes.
No, he says it in the movie, too.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Eric, have you heard of this movie?
No, but I'm just looking at it now on IMDb. It's starring Turkey.
Yeah, there's a turkey, and he's like a real turkey, and he kills people because of what happened on the first Thanksgiving.
Mm. And also starring Wanda Lust as Naked Pilgrim.
Yeah, sure. At the very beginning, he's chasing a pilgrim through the woods, and her top just busts open out of nowhere.
Of course.
You know?
Oh, my God, there's a Thanksgiving 2 and 3 as well.
My favorite scene in Thanksgiving is the turkey, of course. Now keep in mind, it looks just like a turkey, you know, so it's not like it's a human in a turkey costume or anything. He has killed this one girl's dad and taken his face off, and when the girl and her friend show up at his house, the turkey is put on the dad's face, and she has to look down at the floor, and she's like, oh, hi, daddy, like, and the costume completely convinces them until he takes the mask off.
I'm just laughing. I just see it. There's in the cast list, one of the actors. This is not the character name. The actor name is General Bastard. He plays Oscar the Hermit. It's all very John Waters.
It's unbelievably over the top.
Mm. And have you seen the sequels?
No, I've only seen the first one.
How old is the first one, or how new is the first one? Is it a couple of years
2009,
old?
2009.
Okay. Okay. Cool. Excellent. Well, I've not had the pleasure yet, but who knows? Maybe one day. Anything else, Nathan?
No, that's about it. I suggest, Justin, that you have a few of your Apple teenies and watch it some night.
Okay. Maybe I will. I've just been watching mostly Jean Cocteau, Orphée.
Of course you have. I've been watching Jean Cocteau films as well, actually.
Have you?
Yeah, I watched La Femme sur la Plage and
what did you think
La Homme avec le Microwave. Hmm? Hmm?
Microwave.
Microwave. Yeah. I don't think that was one of his.
It is.
Did you see Testament of Orpheus? It's just so obscure. Testament
did anyone in those movies jump out of a window?
No, I haven't watched any John Cocteau, but I did watch, to be honest, I haven't watched any horror movies in the last week. It's just been one of those weeks. So I've just been watching Orson Welles movies. So there. So anyway, nice and highbrow-ish. Although I did watch The Lady from Shanghai with Rita Hayworth and Orson Welles, which is a fantastic film noir, if you've not seen it, which has got a great shootout final scene in the funfair, which is slightly reminiscent later of the some like films like The Funhouse and things like that, but only by the setting. But that's very kind of tenuous link to horror movies. But yeah, well, hopefully be watching lots of horror movies. I did pick up... I went shopping yesterday and they picked up the Blu-ray releases of The Abominable Dr. Fibes Rises Again and Theatre of Blood, so three Vincent Price movies, all for £6 each on Blu-ray, which is pretty good.
And good movies too.
Yeah, and they've got The League of Gentlemen.
Yeah, I have that well. Blu-ray. I think it came in a box set as well. They're just the two Dr. Fibes movies.
Yeah, well, the box set is really, really expensive on eBay and Amazon, so I was really surprised to find them £6 a piece. Which must be about $8.
Yeah.
So anyway, enough of me buying Christmas presents for myself. I guess maybe is it time? Are we going to do the quiz first, or do we want to do the quiz after the movie?
We can do it now if you want.
Okay. Well, I don't have any Christmassy music, but I might lay something over the top of this. So, Joseph, do you want to take it away? And everyone, hold on to your hats.
Yes, ho ho ho, everybody. This is my festive quiz for The Hysteria Continues, and I have a feeling we're going to have a special visitor this year.
Ooh.
Toya.
That special visitor is Inga, by the way.
You all assume that I'm going to lose. I don't know why, but possibly because you've been conniving behind my back.
Eric's won a few.
Yeah, he's won a few.
I have.
And lost a few.
I won a Christmas one as well a few years ago.
Yeah. Well, let's see.
Well, maybe you'll get lucky on this one, Eric.
Mm. Yeah. But maybe I won't because you've all been in cahoots behind my back.
Yeah, you know me so well. Okay. This is our festive quiz, and round one is quotes from holiday slasher films. So we're going to start alphabetically. So, Eric, would you like door number one, two, or three?
Number one, please.
Okay. This quote is, "The next time I'm accused of murder, I won't be the one to wake up screaming."
I'm accused of murder. And they're all holiday, they're all Christmas slasher movies.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm just going to guess... Christmas Evil?
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. Justin?
It sounds vaguely familiar, but I don't know. I'm going to take a punt at To All a Good Night.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. Nathan?
That would be from Home for the Holidays, my favorite TV slasher.
That is correct.
Told you they were incorrect, Justin.
Well done, Nathan. See, Eric, it's sometimes you've got to think outside the box.
I can't stop thinking about the box.
Justin.
Yes.
Door number two or three?
Number two, please.
Okay. The quote is, "I'd like to bury the hatchet with my sister, right in her head."
Now, I do know that quote, and I'm trying to think what film that's from. It's from the remake of Black Christmas.
That is correct.
Yeah.
What? Eric.
Yes.
You should be happy for me. Come on, where's the Christmas chair?
Eric, you are left with door number three.
Am I? I've got two questions.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Nathan. There we go. That's right. I think I was just feeling pity on you because you haven't gotten a point yet, Eric.
So I mean, two questions. Calm down.
Just started.
All right, Nathan, you're left with door number three. The quote is, "You want it all, but you're no longer a child."
I have no idea, so I guess I'm just going to take a wild shot in the dark and say, "Don't open till Christmas."
That is incorrect.
Well, thanks for getting my hopes up and then saying incorrect.
Eric.
I'm going to say, because there's children in it, Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Oh, I'm sorry. That is incorrect. Justin.
Oh, it doesn't ring any bells with me, so I'm going to say To All a Good Night.
That is incorrect. The correct answer is Christmas Evil.
Oh.
Oh.
So, going into round two, Eric has zero. Justin and Nathan have one.
Yay!
Fuck off.
Actually, I think I should have two, because I think that Don't Open to Christmas is an alternate title for Christmas Evil.
Shut up. Not.
I've got I've got sound clip here for Eric.
What? Oh, shut up.
Okay, round two is just random trivia. So we started with Eric last time. So Justin, door number one, two, or three?
I'll go for trusty number two, please.
Okay. What Christmas slasher from 1980 featured a small role from porn star Harry Reams?
Harry Reams. I'm going to say to All a Good Night.
That is correct.
Who was he in that?
He was the airplane pilot.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Nathan, door number one or three?
Three.
Okay. The NBC series Grimm was co-created by Stephen Carpenter, who co-wrote and co-directed what 80s Christmas slasher?
The Dorm That Dripped Blood.
That is correct. Okay, and Eric?
Sorry, you're going to have to repeat the question because I had headphone issues there. My wireless headphones have battery.
I haven't asked the question yet.
All right, sorry.
Okay.
Oh, what a professional.
Eric, you are left with door number one.
Yes. Did Justin, Martin, did I take it Nathan got his right then, did he?
Yes, he did.
Boo.
Okay. Eric.
Yeah?
Martin Kittrosser, the director of Silent Night, Deadly Night 5, The Toymaker, was the script supervisor on what four horror films from 1980 to 1984?
What four horror films?
Yes.
That's fucking ridiculous. He did Friday the 13th, 3 and 5.
I said script supervisor now, remember.
Cunt Flaps 1, Cunt Flaps 2, Cunt Flaps 3, and Cunt Flaps 4.
Eric, that's not on Christmas.
That is correct, Eric.
See, I told you, Justin.
Eric wins the quiz.
Yay.
Okay. Is that your actual answer?
That is my actual answer.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Justin.
Would it be the Friday the 13th films?
And what else? Oh. Which ones?
Well, one, two, three, and four.
That's partially correct, but I'm sorry.
Do I
that's
get half a point?
That's not, no, you have to get all four. That's not fully correct.
Okay, well, yes. If that's not quite right, how about you, Nathan?
I'm going to say Friday the 13th, 2, 3, 4, 5.
That is not quite correct. Martin Kittrosser was the script supervisor on Friday the 13th 1 and 2, Deadly Blessing, and
Silent Night. Which is not a slasher.
I said, what for horror films?
Oh.
Deadly Blessing and Silent Madness.
I'm going to go Inga for a second here. Like, the person that got that question, Eric, had to guess four movies altogether.
Yeah, that's so unfair.
You know how it goes. Someone picks door number one, two, or three. You just don't get anything. All right.
He also wrote the entire. He was also the script supervisor on all the Cunt Flaps movies.
Yes, he was.
So I should have got points for that.
Eric, you get one sixteenth of a point.
Yay.
Well, what do I get if I got two of those right?
You get 1/16 of Eric's point.
Okay.
So 32nd of my point.
All right, round three is the audio round, which I've sent clips to Justin. Basically, these are when reactions. Basically, when someone got a question right, this is what how they reacted. And basically, what you need to do is guess what their correct answer was. And these are all holiday-related answers, because this was on our Silent Night, Deadly Night episode quiz, which was a festive quiz. So we started with Justin last round. So we'll start with Nathan this round. So, Nathan, we'll have Justin play your clip now.
So this is Nathan's clip. Okay, here we go.
Yes.
That is correct.
That was so easy.
Well, you could have picked that one, Eric.
No, I couldn't because it's rigged. That's why.
Eric, it was easy.
It was very easy. No. You would have got that, Nathan, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew it. Because I remember it happens right before the chase scene, and nobody dies after that chase scene.
But why don't you all get this?
Nathan, do you know the film that you guessed right?
Oh, my God. I have absolutely no idea. I need to go back and re-listen to old episodes, I think. I'm going to say, let's see, nobody dies after a chase scene. To all a good night.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. Eric, would you wager a guess?
I'm going to wager a guess, because if I was shouting and screaming that it was so easy, it must be one of the major slasher movie festive thingies. So I'm going to say the original Black Christmas.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect.
Oh, fuck.
Justin.
I don't know. I'm trying to think. If nobody dies after a chase scene, so that's a chase scene at the end. Pranks?
No, I'm sorry, that is incorrect. The correct answer was Halloween.
Oh, I nearly said Halloween, actually.
I thought you said it was festive.
Quiz. Yeah, I said holiday.
Oh, I didn't say Christmas.
Oh, we were all focused on Christmas.
Eric, yes. not on Christmas, please.
I turn into Dawn Davenport. Is that her name, Dawn Davenport? On Christmas.
Yes.
So I can't help it.
Oh, okay, so Eric, we'll have Justin play yours now.
That is correct.
Yes!
That's all I guess.
That's all you get.
This has totally been rigged. I know it's been rigged.
That's just like your yes.
I'll tell you what, Eric. What? To be fair, I'll play it for you again.
That is correct.
Yes!
Holiday. Now, if Friday the 13th is one of the answers, I'm going to kill you, Joseph, because Friday the 13th is not a holiday.
Well, I'll give you a hint. It is not Friday the 13th.
Okay. Okay.
So it's a holiday. Doesn't necessarily mean Christmas. It's a holiday.
Yes. Well, Valentine's Day is not a holiday either. So neither is Halloween, to be honest. Is it a day? It's a day of the year, basically, is what you're saying. I'm going to say My Bloody Valentine.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. Justin, would you like to wager a guess?
April Fool's Day?
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. Nathan?
New Year's Evil.
That is correct.
Ooh.
New Year's Eve is not a holiday. New Year's Day is a holiday. New Year's Eve is not a holiday.
Well, part of the movie takes place on New Year's Day.
No, it doesn't.
It does.
I cannot believe I got that right.
Well done, Nathan.
Shut up. That's not a holiday. And Halloween isn't a holiday either. We don't get the day off on Halloween, so it's not a holiday.
Well, so it is.
It only counts as a holiday if you get the day off.
Yes. So.
They are holidays over here.
Yeah, well, that's not fair because only two of you are over there. Two of us are over here, and we don't have a holiday on Halloween.
But you get the movies, don't you?
We get the movies, yeah. We don't call them holiday movies, though.
All right.
We just call them movies.
Shut your Inga hole.
You don't get a holiday on Halloween, though, do you?
No, we don't get the day off for Halloween. I'd usually take the day off, but...
Yeah, so it's not a holiday. A holiday means a day off.
I think holiday means if you celebrate, like people.
It's derived from holiday.
It has a different meaning over here, Eric.
Well, you should have specified that before you started the stupid quiz.
Oh, you know, you know what I was talking about, Justin.
Yes. Okay.
Play yours now.
Let's bring back some decorum to this quiz.
I don't know. I'll go for.
That is correct.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, wow. Okay.
All right. So you and Eric are tied with two.
And Eric, watched that film recently.
Shut up, you slag.
See, nothing ever changes. I've absolutely no idea on what film. So, again, we're talking about the loosest possible definition of holiday.
Yes. So that means it could be anything.
It could be Jaws 2.
I don't think, I think that's even.
It could be a packet of biscuits, which isn't either a movie or a holiday.
Okay. I'm going to have to plump a guess at Halloween 2.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. Nathan.
To All a Good Night.
That is correct.
No, really?
I think Nathan went back and listened to all the quiz episodes.
I really didn't. You fed him all the answers.
Yeah, I think maybe I'm with Eric on this one.
Yeah, yeah, let's hang up on them.
All right.
Joseph would not help me win.
You may have a chance to come back from zero, Eric.
Well, I know, there's a round where you get to steal everyone's points.
All right, round four is you can either take an easy descramble for 1 point if you win, or you can take what's in the box. Now, there are 7 boxes. Each box has a letter. H-O-L-I-D-A-Y. Holiday, Eric. In each box, there is a certain amount of points, or there may be 0 points, or in one dreaded box, there is minus all your points. So if you decide to go with the box, you have to choose wisely.
Not if you're in my situation, you don't.
Doesn't really matter, does it?
Yeah.
So, Eric, we're starting with you this round.
Yeah, I'm going to go. I'm just going to shut you up there, Joseph. I'm going straight for one of the boxes, okay? I'm going for L.
L, huh?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? You just got plus 1 point.
Yes! Woohoo! I'm a comeback trail, baby.
Eric, back in the game. All right. Justin, would you like to take a descramble or would you like to take a box?
I'll take a box. I'll take a Y.
And that box comes with 0 points. Sorry.
I don't lose any, though, do I?
No, you don't lose any. Oh, okay. You just don't get anything.
Yeah.
All right, Nathan.
Just typical Justin, he never gets any.
At least I earn my points, Eric, rather than just winning them in a random quiz.
Nathan. You don't really win them, it's just by default. Mm-hmm. And by cheating.
Hardly. Sorry, Nathan.
I can hear you typing every time you ask a question.
You can't.
I can.
You can't.
I can.
No, you can't.
He used the C word.
So Nathan.
That's the most forbidden word in all of English.
But you've been using it liberally, and I said
I have no recollection of flaps.
I have no recollection of using it.
Eric, all I said was you can't do that.
No, I know what you were doing. You were thinking you were being really smart, but you're just being childish.
Nathan, I'm sorry. Sorry, you know, I apologize on behalf of Eric, but for interrupting your flow.
Okay. I'm not prepared to lose all my points, so just give me a descrambler.
Okay, door number 1, 2, or 3.
Oh, you actually had options. 2.
Okay, the letters are H, R, V, S, M, L, I, E, C, I, S, T, A.
Christmas Evil.
That is correct.
That was beyond easy. That was easier than Justin.
But you got a point in this round, Eric.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Joseph, which letter was losing all your points? I want to know if I would have lost. I was going to pick the I.
I was actually plus 3 points.
Oh, well, damn.
The remaining boxes are box H, 0 points, box O, 0 points, box I, +3, box D was minus all your points, and box A was +2 points.
Well.
Mm-hmm. All right, the fifth and final round is the holiday body count round. So basically, I will ask you how many people die in a certain film, and you just give me a number. So we started with Nathan last time. Or no, we started with Eric last time. So Justin, door number 1, 2, or 3?
Number 2, please.
Okay. How many people die in Don't Open Till Christmas?
Oh, my goodness. As a guess, I'd say 13.
That is incorrect. Nathan?
I'll say 15.
That is incorrect. Eric?
14.
That is correct.
Woohoo!
Is it really?
Yes, it is.
Let's just say I did some homework.
What you mean, looking at Hysteria Lives?
Yeah. Mm. So?
Yeah, not no, meant to be doing it now.
Revision.
I thought I heard typing just a second ago.
I didn't type. I just preempted certain things. A lot of questions that I was expecting didn't come up, but this one did. So,
okay. Nathan, door number 1 or 3?
1.
How many people die in the dorm that drip blood?
Okay, hold on a minute. 1, 2, 3, 4... 5. I hear that.
That's you.
No, it's not. 5.
Nathan, stop typing.
9?
I'm sorry, that is incorrect.
Damn.
Eric.
Yeah, I didn't study this one, so I am going to have to guess. 8?
That is incorrect. Justin.
7.
That is incorrect. The correct answer is 10.
Oh, man, I missed somebody. I don't know who I missed.
Mm-hmm. All right, Eric, you're left with door number 3.
Which is?
How many people die in Black Christmas?
The original?
Yes.
7.
That is correct.
Woohoo! Eric's right. Making quite the comeback.
Yep. Yes, he is.
But that's the last round.
On the comeback trail. That is the last round, but... there is a bonus question. Oh. Basically here, I have thought of a number between 1 and 100. Each of you, starting with alphabetically, Eric, and then Justin, and then Nathan. You'll guess the number, and the person that gets the number the closest without going over will get to answer a question. If you get it right, you can steal whoever points you want. If you get it wrong, we move on to the next person, and then so forth. So.
Eric, what are the scores at the moment?
The scores are Eric has 3, Justin has 2, and Nathan has 5.
Oh. I'm beating Justin.
Not for long. Actually, I have 2 1/16.
Well, I've got 3 1/16. Anyway.
Eric, number between 1 and 100.
Okay, well, I'm going to choose Justin's age, 76.
Okay. Justin, a number between 1 and 100.
I'm going to choose Eric's IQ and go for 12.
Okay. Nathan.
I'm going to go for 13.
Okay.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. It's the Price is Right. Fuck you.
Yeah, it is.
Actually, Nathan got the closest without going over. Eric went way over. Well, not way over. Eric went over. It was actually 74.
Oh. Well, this has to be the stupidest round in a quiz we've ever had.
So
guess
so
the Nathan, number. How many Nathan fingers am I holding up?
Nathan will go first, and then Justin, and then Eric. That is if Nathan doesn't get this correct. Nathan, this is a quote from a slasher film. A holiday slasher film.
A holiday? Okay.
Okay. Well, the quote is, do you think we might have a psychopath on our hands?
Let's see, because the way you said holiday made it sound like it was not a traditional holiday.
Now, don't take my words too seriously.
Do you think we
might Or should you?
Oh, do you think we might have a psychopath on our hands? I'm going to say... I don't know. Legacy of Blood.
No, that is incorrect. Justin.
Psychopath on the hands. I don't know, but I'm going to take a punt at Silent Night, Deadly Night remake.
That is incorrect. Eric.
That was just called Silent Night anyway.
Oh, well whatever.
I think I know this one, again from my revision. Is it Don't Open Till Christmas?
That is correct.
Woo-hoo. Oh.
So whose points do you want to steal, Justin's or Nathan's?
Is this the very last round?
This is the last one.
Okay, I think you'd have to steal mine to win.
I'm going to have to steal Nathan's to win. So yes.
All right. Well, then Eric just won the quiz.
Yes! Let's just let everybody know it wasn't due to knowledge. It was due to luck.
It was down completely down to luck.
Excuse me?
He got the question right.
Yeah.
The question, who got the most right during this quiz?
Stupid. Oh, look at Inga coming out in...
It would have been me.
Congratulations,
Eric. Somebody's got to fill that role, Eric.
Thank you. When do I get my prize?
You don't get a prize.
What?
Your prize is you got bragging rights for the rest
of
the
episode. Well, I suppose that is enough, yeah.
Eric wins with 8, Justin had 2, and Nathan was left with 0. Sorry, Nathan.
Well, I take pride in the fact that I got 5 questions correct. I'm very classy.
Yeah, I think
now, excuse me while I smoke.
Yeah, the greatest present we could give to Eric this year was letting him win. So I think we all need to...
Well, and a PlayStation 4 I'd like as well.
It's always good to do a little bit for charity each year. So
a bit of what?
Nice to do a little thing for charity, so it's nice we've done a bit this year.
Ain't no charity.
And I'm proud to have donated those points to you, Eric.
Yeah.
You didn't donate them, I won them.
Through sheer donation.
Anyway, I'm sure this is thrilling for our listeners.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. Is the new Friday the 13th game going to be on PlayStation 4? Do you guys know?
Don't know.
Yeah, should be.
Hmm.
I don't think it's an Xbox exclusive.
Okay.
Will it come out in the Commodore 64? Because that's really all I have now.
It's on my Wang computer.
Your Wang?
Yeah, there's Wang computers. You never heard of those?
No, don't think so. I've heard of a Wang.
Yeah.
I bet you have, Eric.
Yeah.
You're quite the connoisseur, I hear. So, are we going to move on now to... Unless you want to hear my joke of the week.
No.
Well, is it about Silent Night and Bloody Night? Should we wait till after we talk about it?
Okay, yes, that's probably right, isn't it? Okay, well, here is the trailer for Silent Night.
And Nathan is getting high again.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. No,
you are. No, you said you were going to light up a doobie there.
I said it's cigarette.
A cigarette?
You don't smoke cigarettes.
Do you smoke, Nathan?
No, I don't smoke.
Yeah.
Something very fishy is going on.
Well, I'm going to do a line of coke while you're around.
I think the baby Jesus is crying this holiday.
Okay, well.
Nothing says Christmas more than drugs.
On that bombshell.
'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was left living.
His hands. Somebody cut off his hands.
Silent Night, Bloody Night, starring Patrick O'Neill and Astrid Herren.
Yeah, Butler wasn't kidding. Nobody's lived here for years.
Don't laugh at me. I want your ID. Some maniac escaped from Margaretville.
Would you like to drive there?
Also starring John Carradine. Was the night before Christmas, and all all through the house. Not a creature was left living. Silent night. Bloody night.
A juicy, macabre story of family in which incest and insanity prevail in the ancestral mansion where bizarre happenings are commonplace. The mansion, the madness, the maniac, no escape. And that is from the Paragon VHS, which I've noticed in doing my research, a lot of the releases for this film have like very small kind of descriptive text on the back of their releases. So that was pretty much the longest one, which is not very long at all. But anyway, Silent Night, Bloody Night is quite a weird little film, if I'm honest. I certainly liked it a lot, actually. But this little film that actually predates Black Christmas by about a year and a half is centers on a, I guess you'd call it, one of those so-and-so goes back to claim his inheritance after a shocking crime occurred. This so-and-so being Jeffrey Butler, whose grandfather left him his mansion. And once he's there, there's all kinds of kind of bickering with, you know, the townsfolk and a few other hangers-on until a murderer shows up and starts killing people in and around the mansion during the wintry Christmas holiday. This is very, I'd definitely say very grindhouse and very low budget, very just kind of washed out. Just it really kind of exists in its own little world. Some people, you know, compare it to Black Christmas. Some people think it's better. I don't think it really holds a candle to Black Christmas, if I'm honest, but it is quite eerie and effective. Lots of good kind of, you know, phone calls that kind of predate the whole Black Christmas and prom night and, you know, certainly Scream, where it became, you know, very popular and When a Stranger Calls, all that stuff. I do like that. I do like those little bits and pieces. I think basically what really sells it is just kind of having this kind of superstar factory of kind of grindhouse, you know, actors, you know, such as Mary Warnoff and John Carradine, you know, Candy Darling. I mean, I can go on and on. You know, like I said, it's just a very weird movie, kind of otherworldly. The phone
that was from Eric.
That was it, yeah. Eric. Oh, Eric, yeah. Please.
What did Eric say? What did Eric rudely say? Just a reminder that I'm the champion. Well, Eric, there is a secret clause in my quiz where if you brag during my cover-up, that I steal all of your points.
No, there isn't. Some of stupid.
And I give them all to Justin.
No, you
Yay!
Don't. No way. No.
That sounds fantastic.
No, it's not.
Brilliant.
That's
yes.
not happening. No. No. I'm not putting up with that. No.
Anyway, Silent Night, Bloody Night. I don't even know where I was at anymore. Anyway, it's a, you know, it's more of an effective kind of mood piece more than it is kind of a slam bang, you know, slasher thrills and spills. And I guess that's kind of, you know, fitting for the time period considering the, you know, the slasher film was more kind of relegated to, you know, Italian murder mystery by this point. I'd give it like a 6 or 7 out of 10. It has its flaws. Certainly the technical side, a lot of the sound design is kind of, you know, hit and miss. This could be just, you know, due to it being in the public domain for so long, the print is usually washed out. Although I do know that Vinegar Syndrome cleaned it up quite a bit for a recent release. I don't know. It's like, it's hard to talk about, you know, because it's just so weird. So, you know, I'll just move it over to our current quiz winner, Justin.
Hey, hang on. No. I'm
well,
not having
you.
Justin win the
thank
quiz.
You.
Actually, I will move it over to Justin, but Eric, you better mind your knickers.
I will. Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, thank you. I couldn't have done it without you, Joseph. So,
shut up.
Silent Night, Bloody Night, I think is, I really enjoyed it. I hadn't seen it for quite a few years. I think I bought a really, really bad full screen washed out DVD many, many years ago, and I've still got it somewhere. But I watched the Vinegar Syndrome free version, which you can download or stream for free from their website, and the print looks really good. It's very bashed up and scratched, and but it gives it that whole grindhouse feel to it, and projected it onto the wall in the kitchen, so like a 6-foot version. It looked really, really good. It's very much of its time. It's got that kind of weird American Gothic you get in films like Messiah of Evil, and those kind of slightly almost like the coming off the bad drugs of the 60s, and in a good way, because I think it's very odd, but it predates a lot of the slasher movie stuff. I mean, it's got I imagine both Bob Clark and John Carpenter saw this movie. Because certainly there are elements in both Black Christmas and Halloween that are lifted from this. Plus, the Joseph was mentioning about the giallo. There's the killer. In fact, actually, pretty much every character in this movie wears black leather gloves at some point as a way of throwing you off to try and work out who the killer is. But it's got all sorts of things. I mean, it's got the escapee from the asylum, which obviously is kind of, even by this point, was probably a little bit hackneyed. The killer kills a dog, thankfully off screen, just like in Halloween. There's the heavy breathing point of view, just like the beginning of Black Christmas when the killer climbs into the sorority house. The killer's kind of moving around the butler mansion. It even has a nod to Psycho with the bloody axe murder or axe murders of the two principal characters in the first half an hour, so which throws you completely for a loop. But it's kind of like the Marion Crane moment, and the creepy phone calls from the killer saying, "Hi, it's Marianne," but it's obviously clear. Well, it clearly sounds like a man's voice rather than a woman's voice, so it has all that mystery. My favourite bits of the movie actually is the flashback scenes back to the 1930s shot through like sepia, and it is kind of goes almost like a Warhol kind of art house kind of low budget one of his movies, which isn't hugely surprising because the film had a lot of the Warhol superstars in it, like say Candy Darling and Ondine, and a lot of the people who were in the Warhol sort of factory were in this movie as well. I'm not entirely sure why that was, but I think that was an interesting addition. It also has some real moments of kind of really creepiness, especially the very end scene when the killer comes downstairs and has that voice.
Yes, that was, kind of actually pretty terrifying when I first saw that, like 3 o'clock in the morning in the dark. I liked that scene. It was really good.
I think because my understanding is the film was all post-dubbed, so a bit like the Italian films, they didn't shoot sound. So it has that kind of weird, slightly stilted feeling, which actually kind of works in its benefit. And it has all these kind of weird feelings of foreboding, like all those shots of the circling birds in the sky, and the weird screeching noises, again, probably post-dubbed. So it adds this kind of oddness, which... if you're going to spoil the movie, but it's if you haven't seen it, then stop and go watch it now. But it turns out that that the townspeople were people who escaped from the asylum back in the 1930s after killing everyone at the asylum, all the staff. So the film has this kind of weird artificial feel to it, and of course the town itself is artificial because it's actually populated by ex-inmates at the asylum. So it's kind of it's everything. It works just really, really well. I think it's of its time. I don't think it's good as Black Christmas, but it's almost impossible to compare it to Black Christmas in some ways because it's so odd. But if you're a fan of like early 70s kind of gonzo weirdness, then it's definitely a film you should check out.
Yeah, this is definitely something. This is definitely a Andy Warhol, if Andy Warhol made a slasher film, in my opinion. Let's see. We'll go to our actual podcast winner, Nathan.
What? This is an outrage.
Don't worry, Eric. You won.
Otherwise, I'm ready to send an email to hr@hysteriacontinues.com.
I think Joseph is HR, though.
For this episode, I'm HR. So,
I really enjoy Silent Night, Bloody Night. It was one of those, I mean, you guys know the Paragon artwork. It was one of those, you know, like video boxes that just screamed at me from off the shelf. I mean, like the skull with the axe buried in it and the mansion in the background and that tagline. I was like, oh, you know, this is going to be some, you know, like Friday the 13th style slasher when I was younger. But of course it's not. So, I mean, I was disappointed when I was a kid. But of course, as an adult, I really enjoy it. I can appreciate the atmosphere, the really 70s vibe. And it was really interesting to see Mary Warnoff play a victim, because I'm so used to seeing her play, you know, like non-victim roles. So it was interesting to see her play, you know, this kind of role, although she wasn't really much of a fan of the role herself, but we'll get into background later. I love the setting. Mansions, I think, are just creepy in general. And like you guys have said already, I love the fact that they kind of take the main characters who you think is going to be the main characters and kill them off earlier on. Very psycho to do that, but, you know, I can appreciate it. I really like it. I think my main issues are with, like Joseph said, the technical aspects of it. You know, like the night scenes are very dark. And that was always an issue with the VHS copy. But it doesn't diminish the atmosphere of the film, I'd say. I mean, this movie is like overflowing with atmosphere, and that's good. And I think it really works for, you know, for this movie. I would say that I think the killer is very rude, and I don't think that's it's very polite when the killer goes after, well, not so much that, but when he's talking to Tess, he tells her she got fat, and I think that's uncalled for. It's mean. And it's talk about adding insult to injury.
I know.
It's just terrible. But I agree with what you guys say. I think it's a really good movie. Now, I don't might not like it as much as Black Christmas or Halloween, but it's still a really good movie.
Yeah, the whole film is just kind of permeated with this just psycho sleaze, like, you know, like was mentioned, the former inhabitants of the insane asylum are now the townsfolk, and some of them in official capacity. And then you find out that, big spoiler alert, that Jeffrey Butler is actually the son of the killer, Wilford Butler, and he was, you know, pretty much brought into the world through incest. Just, I mean, it's just so kind of dreary and icky, but I think it kind of works here, though. But Eric, as the actual podcast winner this episode, what are your thoughts on Silent Night, Bloody Night?
I am the champion, my friend.
That's all right. I want to say. I have a special, special clause in my thing.
No!
If you sing Queen lyrics. Go ahead, no. Eric.
Okay. That was actually a cover version of that song, so it wasn't technically Queen. Yeah, I had never seen Silent Night, Bloody Night until about 24 hours ago. Yeah, believe it or not. So I was watching the Vinegar Syndrome download, and it looks pretty nifty, I have to say. I mean, some of the nighttime scenes are quite dark, but I imagine if this is the best it's ever looked. It's quite sharp, although, as Justin was saying, it still has a lot of scratches and pops on the screen, but that's not really a problem for me. It does give it a lovely early 70s grindhouse feel. I was quite alarmed that there was so much narration at the start, because it was bringing to mind nothing but Crazy Fat Ethel. Or that's, what's the name of the first one?
Criminally Insane. Well, should make you excited for it.
Criminally Insane. No, I did enjoy Criminally Insane, I have to say. But yeah, I thought it was going to be sort of along those lines. But thankfully, it turns out to be more, as Justin was saying, something like Messiah of Evil or Let's Scare Jessica to Death, films around the same era that have the same sort of feel. Axe, The Child, even... thankfully it's not like Death by Invitation, which is the film we provided our not terribly critically acclaimed commentary track for Vinegar Syndrome. Sorry?
I was just laughing.
If there's a problem with it, I mean, I did really enjoy the film. If there's a problem with it, maybe it's a bit slow to get started. You know, the first murders happen half an hour in, and as you were saying, it's who you assume is going to be the lead character is killed off and quite bloody way, with very realistic looking blood, which was unusual for this era, because normally blood effects are quite phony looking. But this was, you know, ahead of its time with its sort of Friday the 13th style Tom Savini blood effects. As you said, it's very atmospheric. It contains a number of scenes that crop up in later slasher movies. Now, I'm not saying that this is an originator because, you know, I'm not that well-versed in pre-1970 horror movies, so maybe this has stolen ideas from other places itself. But certainly the threatening phone calls were very reminiscent, not just of Black Christmas, but especially of Prom Night, in that they're delivered in a very sort of low, whispered, threatening way. And so, you know, speaking of speech, did anyone notice how incredibly baritone the dubbed voice for Patrick O'Neill's character was? When the minute he opens his mouth, I was like, whoa. It's like he's like some big fat blues singer from New Orleans who's just sort of woken up. It was quite startling. Does that stand out to anyone?
Yeah.
Yeah. In terms of festive slashers, though, I would, like all of you, prefer Black Christmas. You know, it has eerier moments of horror, I think, and also it also manages to feel really festive, whereas I think Silent Night, Bloody Night doesn't feel like a Christmas movie to me. I think it's a good film, but it doesn't have the Christmassy vibe that maybe permeates Black Christmas maybe Silent Night, Deadly Night as well.
Definitely just a kind of wintry vibe.
It has a wintry vibe, yeah. So, I mean, the Christmas element is completely non-essential to it, where it is kind of an essential element to things like Christmas Evil and, you know, Black Christmas and all those. And as Nathan was saying, one of the things I noted was it was really nice to see Mary Warrenoff in kind of a hero role as a final girl. As she's normally playing the more sinister types in films like, you know, Night of the Comet and House of the Devil. And she's quite a hottie in this as well, because I hadn't really seen any of her pre-1980s films. So, you know, seeing her as I think she was 27 or 28 when she made this film. You can see she has that sort of, she's sort of model good looks, whereas when you see her in later films, she's quite Mrs. Voorhees-esque. So I was reading, I hadn't really read any reviews of the film, so I wasn't really sure what to expect. As I said, I really liked it, but I was reading the Hysteria Lives review for it, which was done by the Blue Iris, Justin, and she gave it a 5-star review. I don't think I'd be that enthusiastic, 3.5 to 4 maybe for me, but I was reading Stephen Thrower's Nightmare USA book, which is brilliant, and I was thinking this is exactly the type of film that will probably be referenced in that, and I went to have a look, and it is indeed. He does give it a review, but he's quite scathing, which I thought was odd, because he's you know, as bad as Nathan for defending the indefensible when it comes to low-budget Americana movies. So my opinion would be somewhere between the two. I think it's really good. It's probably not one I could rewatch a lot, unlike, you know, Bob Clark's original Black Christmas, which is one I go back to every year or so.
What does Stephen Thrower have against it? What does he say?
I can't remember his exact... I'll look up his exact wording in a minute, but he found it drab and boring, and he didn't like the sepia back... flashbacks that you were sort of enthusiastic about, Justin. He thought they were corny and just tedious.
Very curious, considering it is because some of the crap he likes.
I know, because I was talking about the film Axe. You know the film Axe, also called I think it's called Lisa.
Yeah, and it's the California Axe Massacre.
Yeah,
too.
That one. He loves that one.
Wow.
And yet he sort of is a bit down on this one.
But that one's really good too.
It's entertaining, yeah. But I mean, it's certainly a lesser film to Silent Night, Bloody Night.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to talk stilted as far as performances go, that movie's one of the top contenders.
Yeah, but as Justin's saying, like the post dubbing does give it a strange feel on this film. But I was really surprised. I wasn't expecting to enjoy it as much, and when. Also with Vinegar Syndrome's print, you know, it was a delight to see a public domain film get, you know, it's not completely remastered, but it does look pretty darn good. So I'd urge anyone who's wants to watch the film to go there. I mean, it's free. So,
yeah, you know,
no strings attached. It's public domain, so they can offer it for free, and it's legit. So, yeah, in terms of the festive horrors we've covered, I think Home for the Holidays is my least favourite. Sorry, Nathan. Black Christmas would be my favorite, and this would be it'd be up there near the top. Yeah, I did enjoy it.
Excellent.
So I guess it's 4 thumbs up all around.
Yes.
Yeah, but you still haven't seen some of the more recent Christmas movies, Eric, the direct-to-video ones. Right. You might replace Home for the Holidays with something.
Okay, well, give me an example of one.
Oh, Santa Claus, Claws.
All right, okay.
I'm sure we'll get there in time.
Has anyone seen Krampus yet?
Well, it doesn't come out here till next weekend.
Yeah, it's next. I think we get the same weekend as well, do we?
No, it's out on DVD and Blu-ray in the UK.
Is it?
Yeah.
What? You sure it's the same movie? Because there's two movies.
There's two movies called Krampus, yeah.
Oh.
Is there? What is Krampus? Is it an existing myth or something?
It's like the anti-Santa.
All right.
Mm-hmm. So there's two movies called...
I think one of them might be like an Asylum-esque type movie.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Goes. Yeah, there's one called Krampus the Christmas Devil, and there's one called Krampus Shadow of St. Nicholas. And they look... Oh, that's a paperback novel, sorry. But it looks... it's 15s. But yeah, it does look like it's an Asylum type thing.
Oh dear. Okay, well, that's just as well I didn't pick it up, so...
I had a question about Silent Night, Bloody Night, actually. I may have missed this, but, you know, in the beginning, when Wilford Butler's, quote-unquote, set on fire, and they announce him dead, and he's revealed at the end to be the killer and the father of Jeffrey Butler. Was he actually burned, or was that someone else? I can't really recall, because basically because the production value kind of maybe...
It was the father, wasn't it? He was. It said that he'd been in and out of asylum, because I was confused by that as well, because I was thinking, well, who broke out of the asylum at the beginning?
It must have been him, yeah?
It must have been him. But then why? What was weird is when Mary Warrenoff drove past Jeffrey Butler and then he attacked. Didn't he attack his car with an axe?
Yeah, with his jack.
With his jack. Which
whatever.
Which, unless he was just angry because he broke down. I don't know.
Yeah, and she didn't stop for him, so he went a bit Inga.
Yeah. Well, it's just they read that, you know, Wilford Butler had died, but then at the end he's alive. So, I mean, I think I must have missed something.
They did say that he'd killed somebody, he'd set someone else on fire.
Oh, okay, I must have missed that. Okay.
So, yeah, well, that was quite, he must have been very old, though, mustn't he?
Yeah, I mean... I think this might be one of the first films that has, like, a geriatric killer.
Yeah, well, he must have been at least in his 70s, wasn't he? Because he was at least in his 40s when the asylum was taken over by the inmates. Mm-hmm. And then this was 40 years later, wasn't it? Or 35 years later.
Yeah.
So, but then he looked, didn't he look? Because he looked kind of, at the end, like he was burnt or had some kind of weird, he looked odd, didn't he? His face was all mottled and red.
How come nobody knew he was still alive? Did they know he was still alive?
Well, no, it said that he was in and out of asylums.
Mm.
So I presume he was in an asylum, then broke out the asylum at the beginning of the film and came home.
Mm.
So.
Yeah, it's all very muddled, but
I guess it is probably why there's a lot of narration in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like they lost something in production. They're like, uh-oh. We better start, we better hire a narrator.
Yeah, Doris Wishman.
Yeah, Night to Dismember.
Yeah, this is what Stephen Thrower, just one of the lines from his review of Silent Night, Bloody Night, he says, where was it? Silent Night, Bloody Night is a painfully slow affair plotted for maximum irritation with a deferred mystery structure that will have you screaming with impatience after the first hour. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where he's coming from.
I didn't get that, but...
Because, I mean, I've sat through some of the films he's waxed lyrical about, and I'm like, yeah? What? I don't get it.
Well, it's kind of a lot of the Jess Franco movies. I mean, he's, you know, I'm not I haven't got a huge knowledge of Jess Franco movies, but I know some of the ones I've seen outside of Bloody Moon and things have been very real head scratchers.
Yes.
So
I think he's just trying to be difficult.
Eric.
Background information?
Background. Who would like to go
first? I have some.
Okay.
Let's see. Star James Patterson, who played Jeffrey Butler, died of cancer soon after principal photography. His lines were dubbed in by another actor, going in on the whole post-production ADR kind of theory. After leaving the drive-in circuit in the early 70s, the film fell into public domain. It remained quite obscure until the mid-80s when it appeared on Elvira's Movie Macabre, where it began developing a cult following that... grew with its eventual release on home video. The house used for the Butler Mansion still stands in Oyster Bay, Long Island. That's in New York. Apparently filmed in 1970, but not released until 1972. John Carradine never utters a word in the film. His croaking noises were dubbed in during post-production. Again, going back to that. Let's see. The film's working title was Zora, which is an odd choice since nothing or no one is referred to by that name in the film. Anyway, the German title for the film is Blutnacht, Das Haus des Todes, which means Blood Night, the House of Death. Let's see. Filmed in 1970 as Night of the Dark Full Moon. And it's the final film of Candy Darling. And that's all I have. Anyone else?
I've got some.
Okay.
Mary Warrenov was married to the director. She had met him when he did his first movie in Italy. And afterwards, she thought, you know, she married him and she thought they would do these beautiful movies together. And when they came back to New York, the first movie they did in Italy didn't sell. So her husband, who was desperate to make a film, I guess, that would actually sell, decided to make Silent Night, Bloody Night. And she says Silent Night, Bloody Night was basically the end of their relationship. Because she felt her husband became so obsessed about doing a movie. And it came to a part in the film where she's supposed to cry, and she says that she can't fake cry. She said, just put glycerin in my eyes. I don't mind. It's fine. But her husband was like, nope, it has to be real tears. And she was like, he drove me so crazy that one time she actually walked on set and took her mark, and the crew had hung a giant red Bermuda onion like from a string. And she said that the director finally, her husband just gave in and, you know, gave her something to just help make her cry. She says the movie was basically a nightmare for her. But there's one part in the movie that she loved, and that's when she got her husband to use all of the Warhol crazies. She said that was a lot of fun, but ultimately she wanted to be one of them instead of the role that she was playing. She just did not think that role was right for her. And that was her memories about working on that film.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Anything else, Nathan?
That's it.
Okay, Justin, Eric?
I have a few bits. There are a few alternate titles for the film. Night of the Dark Full Moon, and as you said, Zora, which was an unusual shooting title. And the print on the e-download from Vinegar Syndrome is under the title Death House, all one word. The budget for the film, $295,000, which is not that far off what they shot Halloween for.
There's actually a lot of money in 1970, too.
It is. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. The director, Theodore Gershuni, he went on to be one of the directors on the anthology Stephen King's Golden Tales, and also did various episodes of the TV series Tales from the Dark Side and Monsters. The producer, Jeffrey Konvitz, he went on to produce the decent Michael Winner film, The Sentinel. Candy Darling, as you said, was a drag artist from the sort of Andy Warhol social circle. He was born James Slattery. He died very young, age 29, from leukemia. And apparently he was the inspiration behind the Lou Reed song Walk on the Wild Side and also the Velvet Underground's Candy Says. And Stephen Dorff played him in the 1996 movie I Shot Andy Warhol. Lloyd Kaufman of Troma, that wonderful film producing factory that never seems to stop. He was an associate producer on Silent Night, Bloody Night. And the composer, Gershon Kingsley, whose score at times I thought reminded me a bit of Prom Night. He's most famous for writing the instrumental song Popcorn, which was covered famously. Yeah, it was covered famously in 1972 by the band Hot Butter, and later it was covered by the ringtone sensation Crazy Frog. I'm not sure if Crazy Frog.
It also appeared in another Grindhouse-esque quote unquote slasher movie, the one with the Bigfoot. What was it called?
Shriek the Mutilated.
Yeah, Shriek the Mutilated. That's it.
All right,
Eric. I have to say though about your background, that is so appropriate that a group called Hot Butter sang Popcorn.
I know. Mm-hmm. And Crazy Frog. I was wondering if did Crazy Frog make it over to the States? Yeah.
No, I've never heard of them.
Crazy Frog. Frog was a ringtone that came out in the early 2000s.
I've never heard of it.
It was basically a frog that went beep 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 blah 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 beep 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 blah blah blah. And so it became quite a phenomenon, and he brought out a number of singles. This animated frog.
Wow.
You know about Crazy Frog, Justin, don't you?
I do, unfortunately. But yeah. Is that one of...
I was about to say, it is unfortunate.
The inventors of Crazy Frog became multi-millionaires.
Yeah. Wow.
Was that song you sing? Was that his Toya cover?
Shut up, you. You make me sick.
Is that all you've got for us, Eric?
That's all I have. So okay. You go next, Justin, because you're the loser.
Okay, well, thank you so much. I've got you covered most of the things, but for a bonus question, okay, this film was re-released in 1981 onto 50 screens on a double bill with which Italian horror movie?
Bloody Moon.
No,
that's not Spanish. Italian.
Oh,
1981. What? Is it a horror film from 1981 initially, or was it an older one?
I think it's 1980, I think it was filmed. But you probably won't. I'll tell you, because you're not going to get it, only because, you know...
Nightmare City.
No. Alien Contamination.
Oh, Contamination, so yeah.
It was on a double bill with Alien Contamination or Contamination.
That's a weird double bill.
That is a weird double bill. So that was what I thought was odd. It's also, as I said before, that it was shot over Christmas or like late 1970, maybe early 1971. It was re-edited in 1972, which means, from what I can tell, the film was hacked and cut together, and probably explains why there was so much of the overdubbing, you know, the exposition and stuff, and, you know, the narration, possibly because the film was reworked. So quite what it was like originally, I don't know, but it obviously sat on the shelf for a couple of years. The thing we haven't mentioned yet is the remake, Silent Night, Bloody Night, the Welsh remake of the film.
Yeah, is it a sequel? I haven't seen it.
Oh.
I haven't seen it either.
I think it's a remake.
I think it's a remake, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
I think they might be doing a sequel to the remake, but right. I haven't seen it. But apparently, it was shot in Wales, and they said the film was released by Elite Entertainment in February 2014. So I've not watched it, so I don't know what it's like.
Yeah. Adrienne King is, I think she's in it, maybe just her voice, but she's in there somewhere.
Yeah,
because she was over in England a lot. It was around the time when I went over to London and met her in the Misty Moon Gallery.
Okay. Okay.
There is an unofficial sequel from about a year ago called Silent Night, Bloody Night 2 Revival, and I believe it stars Jennifer Runyon from To All a Good Night. It was actually made by John Kleiza from Retro Slashers. He wrote it, and I think it was directed by someone else.
I'll have a look here. Keep talking.
It's more of a kind of a low budget kind of fan sequel. It's not really official.
Directed by Dustin Ferguson.
Yeah, that's it.
Whoever he is, let me see what else he's done.
And also starring Luc Bernier, who is in an upcoming film I'm doing cinematography for. So there's a connection. Let's see. John Kleiza wrote the screenplay. I think it's just kind of a fan type thing.
Okay, cool. Well, we'll have to check those out. But have you got anything else, or shall we come to the joke of the week?
You mean to read some of these little things from Facebook?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Can we just say this is actually a listener pick by John Jordan. We forgot to mention at the top of the program.
Oh, yes.
Thank you, John Jordan. Yes.
Okay. /Christmas.
Yeah, let's hear from our listeners on Facebook about the movie.
Yeah, we don't really have much this week, but Ben Scher says, "This might be the Christmas horror movie that creeps me out the most because it's so weird. I love the grim, snowy atmosphere and Mary Warrenoff's performance. I got the remastered DVD for my last birthday, but I've been saving it for the Christmas season. I'm afraid that I'll miss the cruddy old public domain version, which added that extra element of, this is a projection from another world, in quotation marks." That was from Ben Scher.
Thank you, Ben.
David Rendoni says, "I found this one during a sleepover when I was about 12 years old. My buddy wimped out after the dog scene. I hung in there, and it stuck with me ever since. Check out Google Images for the DVD and VHS covers, as some run from bizarre to almost pornographic. Thanks for the pick. You guys have officially made my year. That's David Rendoni or Rendon. I don't know. Let's see. And Simon Wright says, a great Christmas proto slasher that deserves to be more widely seen. In terms of atmosphere alone, it could be my favorite holiday horror film. Has such a spooky vibe and reminds me of other American independents of similar vintage. Especially Let's Scare Jessica to Death and Messiah of Evil, which I think Eric mentioned both of those in his recap.
I mentioned one, Justin mentioned the other.
Yeah, okay. They all also share an identical flashback, and here's where we came in framing structure. It also calls forward in parts to Lucio Fulci films, such as The Beyond, with the sepia-tinged scenes and eye violence, anyone, and The House by the Cemetery.
Was there the battle,
yeah. Yeah, and speaking of Italian horror, I think I spied some black gloves in there, too. Add in some excellent performances from Mary Warnoff and company, and a narrative that's arguably more complex than your average slasher, and you have a film that's really crying out for more people to see it. Cheers to the listener who picked it, and to you gents for covering it, as that should mean more are tempted to check it out. That's from Simon Wright.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Simon.
And that's all we have for this week.
Brilliant. Okay, well, thank you for writing. Say, we're probably, we're recording this about 2 weeks or 3 weeks before it comes out. So if we don't read out your feedback, it's just because you're too late. But here is how to get in contact with the show. And after that, we'll come back with my joke of the week and tell you what we're going to be coming back with next year.
Be sure to search for and like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at @THC_podcast. Our voicemail is 858-233-9281, and you can email us directly at the.hysteria.continues@gmail.com.
And indeed, write to us, and we'll read out on the next show, which will be after Christmas, and we'll tell you what that's going to be a little bit later.
God damn.
What?
One of my cats just took a wicked dump.
Ew! TMI.
Oh,
you're ruining Christmas for me.
Merry Christmas, yes. Indeed.
This is very crap from us.
Merry crap.
Right, on that bombshell, here's my joke of the week.
It's my joke of the week. It's so fantastic.
So what is the lead actress in Silent Night, Bloody Night's favourite Christmas tipple?
Christmas what?
Tipple.
Mary Smirnoff.
It is. How did you know
that? Oh, sorry.
Oh, Eric, you've ruined my Christmas.
I didn't think that would be your punchline. I'm sorry.
You've ruined my Christmas. You've ruined all our Christmases. And now,
he wins the quiz.
I had this clip to play after I said that.
Outstanding.
Oh yeah, it's a terrific.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed it.
And now you've ruined it, Eric.
And didn't I sound so enthusiastic in that?
Yeah. Just, do you want to go back and record it again, and I won't say anything?
No, I think it's quite funny, as it is, as you've ruined our Christmas.
I'm sorry,
like
I won't
Dawn Davenport. Oh, you're the God. Dawn Davenport of the
Christmas
podcast.
This Christmas is ruined.
Oh, anyway.
You will get those cha-cha heels, Justin, though. I'm sure you will this year.
Eric, you ruined Christmas.
I just
wanted
my own joke, and you ruined it. Was it that obvious? Obviously it was.
I didn't understand what you said. Is that like is it a British term?
Smirnoff. It's Smirnoff. A brand of vodka.
No, not Smirnoff. You said your favorite Christmas something.
Tipple.
Tipple, yeah. What is that? Yeah.
Tipple.
What does that mean?
It means a little drink.
Okay, yeah, I didn't know what that meant.
Okay.
Okay.
It's the worst Christmas ever.
Oh, no, I've ruined Christmas for everyone.
Well, but on that bombshell, I think we'll sign
children,
out.
Children, there will be no presents this year.
Well, next year we will have lots of presents for you, and we'll be returning in January with another listener pick, and it will be The Eyes of Laura Mars, which is another listener pick by, and sorry, I don't have it up now.
Everett Jones. You don't have it up now.
I don't have it up now. Whoa. Oh, just for as it's.
You can see what the trouble is, can't you? It needs a screw.
Oh, does it?
Oh, yes. A very long screw.
Anyway, we haven't had one of those for a little while, so Merry Christmas to one and all. Yeah. Yes. And we'll be back in the new year, so have a great holiday season. And don't drink too much, Eric. And we'll see you next time. So say goodbye to the good people. And what are we playing out with? We're playing out with...
This is just the incidental credit music.
I've actually got a little song to add on after that.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
It's not a Susie song.
It's probably a Creature song.
No, it's not a Creature song either. Nothing to do with Susie at all.
Why don't you just play Fuck Christmas by Fear?
Or play Popcorn by... whatever his name was. Who did the score to Silent Night, Bloody Night. Yeah.
Well, I might do a little bit of all of those, but I'm going to play a little bit of Marianne by Sisters of Mercy.
Ah, well, it would be goth.
Well, but it's quite fitting, isn't it?
It is.
And I wonder if it was about this movie.
Well, anyway. Goths are into horror movies, so maybe.
Who knows? Anyway, Merry Christmas, one and all.
Yes, and a Happy New Year.
From Inga Cratchit in the corner.
What?
Ruining Christmas for one and all. We'll see you next time. So
Joseph
say
Cratchit.
Goodbye to the good people.
There's a clause that where if Justin says that we've ruined Christmas one more time, Eric gets all his points taken away.
What?
John Van Ness did his own stunt in Tourist Trap.
Eric's ruined Christmas.
I'm the girl. That's turned into a cockroach.
Yeah, Allendale. We'll have new memes in the new year.
Yeah. That's true.
What does the word meme mean?
Good luck with that.
I don't know how they derived the word. I don't know how they derived that word, but it means like, you know, internet joke.
I'm just curious to know where the word derives from. Let's discuss this. No.
Okay.
Let's discuss it.
Well, let's hope everyone's sitting around their Christmas tree with their children listening to the show, like Joan Crawford's Christmas.
They'll hear Justin say the C word.
Well, you said it first.
Here's cunt flaps, and goddamn, my cat just took a big whopping dump.
I said can't. It's pronunciation. You've got to listen to my crystal clear English pronunciation, Eric. Do you remember? I can, and you can't. So, see you all next time. That was good, apart from Eric ruining my joke.
I'm sorry. Honestly, do you want to go back and record it again?
No, I think it's probably quite funny. Right. Are we all in the Christmas spirit?
Are we recording already?
Yeah. Yep.
We actually had run out, but I woke up and magically there's some on the table.
Wow, it's a Christmas miracle.
I know. It is a Christmas miracle. I'm very excited. I never really need one, but I always go to the bathroom before we start. But, you know, Justin, you know, if you drink a lot, it goes right through you and you have to go to the bathroom more often.
Before
I'm a man of many moods. Well, two, really.
Get down.
Get down. Get down. Is it like...
Get down
with it.
Boogie. My cats are climbing into the Christmas tree.
What?
Bosh.
I just thought it was funny because Joseph's like, who picked that one? And Justin's like, me? I just picked it.
Christmas.